Father, we just want to thank you for the agreement, Lord. Thank you that we can pray in faith, Lord, knowing that you birthed this church, you started it, Lord, and you have been faithful over 21 years, Lord, where many people at the start said that the Fred and Lucille wouldn't make it and they would be closed down soon. They just wouldn't survive in Stellenbosch. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you that you have started this ministry. It belongs to you. We're just excited to see what you're going to do through us, Lord, in the years to come. We thank you, Lord, for just opening the doors, Lord, for this streaming project, Lord. We thank you that we can really, Lord, see nations touched, Lord, see lives touched forever, for the gospel, the cause of the gospel, for your kingdom, God. We thank you that even tonight, as we give into your kingdom, Lord, as we give of our offerings, we know it's for a cause so much greater than ourselves, so much greater than our lives, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, we're just a small part of such a big vision, Lord. Not only in Shofar, but, Lord, just throughout the world, Lord, you're doing amazing things. And we honored, Lord. We're privileged tonight. We thank you for choosing us, for sending us to this house, Lord. Lord, called, known as a house of prayer for the nations. And that we can trust you, Lord, that this vision will reach nations and generations, Lord. Will touch people, make disciples, raise up leaders, Lord, and plant churches so that lives can be changed for your kingdom. We bless you, Lord. We praise you tonight for time in your presence. We thank you. We can open our hearts to your word tonight as well. And I just pray right now that, Lord, the thoughts of my heart and the meditations, God, the words of my mouth will truly bring glory to you, God. And we thank you that we can trust you. The fruit of our lives, I thank you that tonight we'll not just become hearers of the word, but we'll truly be doers. I pray that you'd give us strategy when we walk out of here, what to do next, what is the step of obedience that you've called us to take in response to your word, Jesus. Amen. It's wonderful to have you in the house of the Lord. Are you excited to be here? Despite the exams or other stresses that you might have, thanks for taking the time out. The ladies, by the way, you guys missed out. Awaken was amazing down in Stellenbosch. I've heard amazing things, testimonies already. So next year, book your ticket for Awaken Women's Conference. Don't miss out. And chat to those ladies when they get back. I think most of them are still traveling now, so pray for them. They'll get back safely. But I'm excited this evening. The Lord is continuing with this thing of Moses, when he called Moses at the burning bush. We're going to continue and look at his response. Because remember last week, we saw the Lord had a great calling for him, and he encountered the Lord at the burning bush. And some of us think, oh cool, Moses just said yes to everything the Lord asked him, and he didn't ask questions, he didn't argue with God or nothing, but that's not what the Bible says. We're going to look at Moses' response tonight, because he was not a man that just said yes to everything. He questioned a lot of things, he had a lot of excuses. So maybe you're here tonight and the Lord is starting to knock on your door and calling you, and you've got all sorts of answers from the Lord. Well, you're at the same place as Moses was at. So I want to ask you a question to start off with. I want to ask you, have you ever been asked to do something by someone and you sort of thought, oh, this is not so important, so I've got other things to do, so I'll leave it, won't do it. Afterwards, you hear from the other people that were asked to do this thing that they had such a great time and they enjoyed it and you missed out. And have you ever had that experience where you like regret, oh, if only I just, you know, said yes to this person asking me just to do something? I don't know if you've had that experience, but I remember at school, junior school still, like I was asked to, I can't exactly remember what I was asked to, but I remember the feeling afterwards of I sort of had other things to do and the teacher asked a couple of us to just help with something, and I sort of thought, oh, it's not important, you know, I won't do it. And afterwards, the other people that did help, they were so blessed. They had like a meal out and they had such fun together. And it was like, I missed out. And I was like, oh, I'm so upset that I didn't say yes, because the thing that I did wasn't really that important. And the excuses that I had weren't that important. And that feeling of like regret and thinking, oh, if only I'd done that. I don't know if any of you have been there. But you know, that is what Moses almost had that same experience of. And he luckily didn't miss it. But he almost did, because he really didn't want to do what God had called him to do, and he really did have lots of excuses. But before we go on to that, I want you to turn into groups of two or three and just tell the person next to you, what is your greatest fear at the moment? What is your greatest doubt, uncertainty, weakness, whatever it is? Just one thing, okay? Ladies, look at me now. Not 5 or 10 minutes talking, okay? Just a few, 1 or 2 minutes, quickly. So turn to someone next to you, someone that you know maybe, or comfortable with, because we're going to break up the groups again afterwards. So just a group of two. If you have to be three, it's fine, but let's just keep it short. What, share with that person, what is your greatest fear, doubt, weakness, uncertainty, whatever you call it at the moment. Okay? Okay, so let's do that. 2 minutes. Share just quickly. Not long stories, just one thing. Okay. Some of you would want to carry on discussing these things for the rest of the evening, but let's leave it at that for now. We've got small group on Wednesday to talk further about this, so that's awesome. So I just want you to know this evening that Moses, we're talking here about the story of Moses. We're looking at Exodus chapter 3 and 4 tonight. We're looking at the man Moses. You know, Moses was a man just like you, just like me, okay? Ladies, okay, he was a man, but he was a person. Okay, he was a person just like you, just like me. Moses was a great man of God, and his testimony is awesome at the end. But if you look at what the Bible says, Moses didn't just do everything and said, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, to God, and said, yes, God, exactly, I'll go further than you asked me to, I'll do everything. Moses had a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, a lot of weakness in himself. And after this burning bush encounter, even while this burning bush encounter was happening, God said to him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, he said, come, Moses, I've chosen you to go to the of Israel. I've chosen you to take the people out of Egypt, to speak to Pharaoh, to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Come now, I'm sending you. And look what Moses' response was, because he had quite a number of excuses, and I was so encouraged by this, reading through these two chapters, seeing how Moses responded to God, and how God just kept on knocking at the door of Moses, despite his own weaknesses, despite his challenges that he had, and despite his arguments to say, God, I don't know if you've got the right person. Maybe you're at that place tonight. Maybe you're wondering, but God, why are you choosing me? Why me, Lord? Why not someone else? Moses had a lot of excuses. So we're going to look at five of Moses' excuses, why he was not the right guy, why he thought he was not the right guy, and that God had truly missed it in his life. Let's look at his first response. So God has just asked him to go to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh, let the people go, because I want my people to be free. And so listen to Moses' first excuse. I call it excuses, but it doesn't matter. You can call it sort of resistance or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I think excuse is quite a nice word there. First of all, he says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So this is Moses' first response. He says to God, who am I? The big question of identity. Lord, who am I really? I mean, I'm this weak guy. I'm this guy who's been rejected. I killed a guy. I don't have a good CV. Who am I that I've got to go to Pharaoh of all people? The king of, you know, the strongest nation at that stage of the world. And so Moses simply was starting to doubt himself. He started to doubt his identity. And he was looking at his past. He was looking at his mistakes, his reputation, his current circumstances. And he weighed this all up and thought, but God, who am I? Why me, Lord? Why not someone else? And he compared his circumstances and his own shortcomings, and he compared it to this massive task of going to Pharaoh, this mighty man, and going to the hard-necked, stiff-necked children of Israel and telling them, listen, it's time for us to leave Israel. I mean, God, who are you speaking to here? I'm sure you've got the wrong person. And so the first excuse many of us make when God calls us is the question of, who am I? I'm not good enough. I'm just choose someone else. God. I'm not good enough. But the truth is, we will never be good enough. Can anyone say amen? We will never be good enough. And God knows that. That is the good news tonight. God knows that you and me will never be good enough for the calling He has for our lives. But you know what? He's fine with it. He's fine with the fact that we are not quite perfect. And so maybe you've got a responsibility. Maybe God is starting to call things into your life and He's starting to do things and you're starting to ask questions, but Lord, my identity, I don't know. Have you got the right person? I see lots of other people around me and maybe it's not me. But the great news for us tonight is God always got as a response. God has always got a response just like He did to Moses. He responded simply by giving him an incentive and a solution. So every time God responded, He gave Moses an incentive for himself to grow and for his own peace of mind. And He also gave him a solution, saying that I will use you. I will change the world for you. And so what does He say? The Lord says to Moses, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So God's response simply to Moses was the following. I will certainly be with you. Isn't that amazing? God could have actually said, I will be with you, But what did he choose to say? He chose to tell Moses, I will certainly be with you. I want to reassure you, Moses, that I'm with you. And it's amazing to see that all Moses needed was God's presence. That's why he added that word certainly there. He wanted to tell Moses, Moses, you can know for certain that I'm going to be with you. My presence is all. Isn't that the same for us? You know, all we need to know when our identity starts to doubt us, when we wonder who are we really, all God says to us is that I will be with you. He doesn't start to say, ooh, let's sort out a few issues here, let's look at your weaknesses or all this stuff. He doesn't say that. He says, I will certainly be with you. So maybe one or two people tonight need to know that. That what God has called you to do right now in your life, He's telling you I will certainly be with you. Stop doubting. Stop doubting your identity. You see, all we need to know is that God has given His presence to us by His Spirit. Moses didn't have the Holy Spirit as we have Him today. But God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to be with you. And today we are living on the other side of the dispensation. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He's been poured out all over. We have His presence. We can know for sure that He's with us. And so God says to Moses that he would witness God's faithfulness. He says, listen, I'm going to be with you, and then, not only will I be with you, but there will be evidence. There will be fruit that I'm with you. The people will come out of Egypt, and they will worship me on this very same mountain that I'm speaking to. Isn't that amazing? God said, not only will I be with you, but there's, you're going to see. You've just got to believe. And so God tried to show Moses that it wasn't about him at all. It wasn't about his identity crisis. Who am I? It was all about God's faithfulness, God's presence. I want to say to you tonight and to myself as well, you and my identity is not in who we are. It is in whose we are. It is in who's your source, who's your presence, who's present in your life, who's your the great one in your life. So don't ask the question, who am I? Ask the question, whose am I? Who do I belong to? Because that God says that's what you need to. Presence will certainly be with you. You may be going through a tough time at the moment. You may be asking the question, but why me, Lord? Why do I have to go through this tsunami? Why does this tsunami have to hit me? Why not the person next to me? And the Lord just says, listen here, Lord, just be with you. Just hold on. Because the Lord is with you. And I want to say to you tonight and encourage you to know that God is with you through your challenge, through your crisis of who am I, and even why me. So God's response to that big excuse of who am I, He simply says, I'm with you. Isn't that good news for us tonight? Can anyone say amen? And Moses carries on and says, okay, God, you're with me, but I have another question, Lord. I have another excuse here. Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say? Excuse number two, Moses started to doubt the knowledge and revelation that he had of God. The big question of, what do I say, Lord? How do I testify of your goodness? How do I testify of your name? Because these people are going to ask questions, Lord, just like me. I'm asking lots of questions, yeah, so I guess they're going to also ask lots of questions. I believe this is one of our biggest challenges in the world today. So how do we witness to people? What do we tell people? And remember, Moses has just been told, first of all, to go to the people of Israel. In other words, this is not even talking here about unbelievers. This is talking about people who are supposed to know their God. And already Moses is having a challenge here. He's thinking, oh, these people are going to challenge me because they're a stiff-necked people. They're a very focused people. And they want to really know that this is God's people. Who am I, Lord? What shall I say? And you see, the second excuse that we tend to make when God starts to call us is, I don't know what to say. I haven't got the 10-point plan, all the answers. I haven't done 3 years of Bible school. I haven't done theological college. I don't know my Bible from Genesis to Revelation. What do I say, Lord? Yeah, truth is tonight that we'll never have all the answers, but God knows. Isn't that good? God knows we won't have all the answers. We won't be perfect, but He's fine with it. Once again, He's got a response. Listen to His response to Moses. He says the following. He says, God, He says, I am who I am. Says to Moses, I am who I am. So what do you need to say, Moses? Simply tell the children of Israel, I am a sent you. You see, Moses, all he needed to know and be reminded of was the revelation that he had and that he was busy having on that mountain. He was busy having a revelation. He was having an encounter with God. The burning bush was speaking. And so God said, that is all you need for now, Moses. All you need for now is the revelation that I'm giving you right now. The I am revelation. The now moment. That is all you need. Don't think about all the other things that people are going to say. Just simply tell them the experience that you've had with me, the great I am has spoken. And you see, I want to say that our revelation of God determines what we will say about God. I want to say that again. Our revelation of God will determine what we will say about God. Why do you think why do you think people who get saved and who get radically changed by the Lord, why do you think it's so easy for them to testify? Because they've just had a revelation. And they go out and they just want to testify. I'll never forget this friend of mine that got saved. I was a cell leader at that stage, just become a cell group facilitator. And this guy was radical. He got radically changed. He had amazing things. He threw away all his CDs and all his posters of Michael Schumacher, and he used to worship everything else except God. And then he suddenly had this encounter with God and started to speak in tongues immediately and experienced the Holy Spirit and started to sing around Stellenbosch, "This is the light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." You know that little song? He was like a little kid again, running around with this joy of his salvation. And he wasn't ashamed to tell people. He offended quite a few people in the process, but you know, because he was in the drinking club and he used to go out to pubs and, you know, he was in that crowd, and he just told them, "Look, you know, I found Jesus, and Jesus found me. I'm a different person." And why is it so easy for someone like that to testify to the world? Why? Because they've just had a revelation. You see, many of us, we still having the revelation of 20 years ago when we got saved. We're still walking on that revelation, and that's not good enough, unfortunately, because you need to have an I am encounter right now, every day in your life. And that is all God wants for you to share with the world. It's just simply, what are you encountering with me now? Isn't it easy then? You know, when we've had a good quiet time in the morning and we're so psyched up, isn't it, you know, it's nice to share what God has just told you. Because your revelation of Him is fresh. You've had this encounter with Him. Then it's easy to tell the world that God loves you and God loves them as well. But you see, that's not the only thing that God said to Moses. He said, listen here, moreover, God said to Moses, you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Not only do we have this revelation of who God is, the great I am, but we also have a revelation of God's love for the world, God's love for all the generations, Abraham, then we can tell people that God loves them. When we have that revelation that God is not only the God of me and the God of the encounter now, He's the God of all generations. And that's what He told Moses. He said, Moses, I am, this is who I am. I am who I am, but I'm also the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all generations, and I'm the God of all nations. My name will be praised forever. You see, it's that whole thing of, have you heard that saying? And it's not a saying, it's in the Bible. Waarvan die hart vol is, loop die mond oor. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, our revelation, the abundance of our revelation, that will be what we must speak. And many times we're running around saying, God, what must I say? And God just says, listen here, just tell the people I am. That I am the God of all nations and all generations. And you see, I know Your revelation of God, you will grow in it. And God was saying to Moses, you're going to grow a lot, you're going to know a lot of things, but all you need to know for now is what you have seen and what you've experienced. Your current revelation is all you need. And I want to say tonight that our current revelation of God is enough to change the world. But just have a revelation of God. Have a burning bush encounter with God, and that is enough. We don't have to have 5 degrees and go through theological class and read the Bible from cover to cover. We do need to get there. I'm not saying you mustn't grow. But some of us are waiting for you to grow to a certain level. And, you know, they used to think, in some people in Stellenbosch, our foundation courses, the people that didn't sort of know too much about Shofar but had a lot to say, they used to think like the foundations of these 5 levels that you reach, you know, like you had level 1 and then you get to level 2, and then it was almost like people thought we were this weird club that just made you go, the higher up you went into the ranks, the more you got caught up in this thing, and you had to be at level 5, and then you like had arrived and stuff like that. So weird rumors going around, okay? But that's not what it's about. It's about when you've had an encounter with God. It doesn't matter what foundation you've done or what Bible school you've done, an encounter with God will change the world around. The abundance of the heart. What is in your heart? But maybe your excuse tonight is, what shall I say? The Lord just says, you do know. Just tell the world what you know. Excuse number 3. Moses continued. And yeah, the Lord had spoken to Moses, and he told him after this, he carried on. He said, Moses, listen here, this is what's going to happen. Go to your elders, tell the people, we're going to go out of Egypt. Then you go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to harden his heart, and it's going to be a bit challenging. But eventually Pharaoh's going to let you go. You're going to do miracles and all this stuff, and eventually the people are going to come and worship you on this mountain. It's going to be awesome. This adventure that lies ahead of you, Moses. Let's do this now. And Moses is not finished with God. Moses really wanted to make an excuse not to go. So he says the following in chapter 4. He says, but suppose that they will not believe me or listen to me. Have you ever heard of someone saying that? Suppose, you know, these questioning people. But suppose this. And suppose that. But what if this? What if that? Moses was a questioning type of God. Suppose they will not believe me. Suppose they say to me, Lord, the Lord has not appeared to you. What now, God? Moses really did not want to obey God. He did not want to go. He asked him everything. He tried to find out every little thing and fix it. God just simply said to him, what is in your hand? You see, Moses did not want to be embarrassed. Excuse number 3. Moses was afraid of the people's response. What if they don't listen? What if they don't agree? The whole issue of the fear of other people, the fear of man, the fear of rejection. You see, that's the excuse we tend to make most of the time, is what if people reject me? What will people say? What if they don't agree with me? And how many of you have known around the world, and just in this city that we live in, on this campus, people are not going to agree with you, everything you say. Okay, have you had that experience, especially with Christianity? Has everyone around you agreed with everything you said? Definitely not. So if we're going to wait for people to first agree with us, and if we're going to ask all these questions, we're just never going to go. Because the truth is, not everyone is going to accept us and agree with us. But just do what we say. God knows that. Once again, God has got a response. Listen to his response. He says to Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses says, a rod. The rest of the scripture says that the Lord told Moses, throw that rod on the ground. And immediately the thing became a serpent. Moses was kind of quite shaken by it. And God said, just take it by the tail and pick it up, and it became a rod again. Then he said, Moses, put your hand in your bosom. Took his hand out, and it was all leprous. And he said, don't freak out, Moses, just put it back in, and his hand turned normal again. So God was saying, trying to say to Moses, listen here, I am going to show these people. I am going to defend myself. I'm going to do a few miracles, Moses. But what is in your hand, bro? Just give me what is in your hand. In fact, Moses, you don't even have to give me anything. Just give me your hand. I will use you, Moses. I will do miracles. And he says here, in verse 8, he says, then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first time, that they may believe the message of the latter time. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood in the dry land. My point here is that God was saying to Moses, I am going to defend myself. I'm going to do miracles. All you have to do is just obey. And so God simply asked Moses, just present what you have. Your rod, your hand, whatever. I will use that to do signs. So this evening, I want to ask you, what is in your hand? What do you have that God can just use? What revelation do you have of Him? What words can you just speak that God can start to use that? What prayers do you have that you can just pray? Simple prayers. And God will do miracles through your prayers. God will do miracles through your skills, through what you have in your hand. But we don't have to defend God. That is the great thing. We don't have to. And obviously, apologetics is good, and it's good to defend the faith, and it's good to, you know, find out a lot about how people think and read the books from know, that new evidence that demands a verdict. Josh McDowell, and he was a real like atheist, and he didn't want to believe. And it's amazing his testimony through other scientists who explained to him that the truth is the truth. So there is a place for that. I'm not saying we mustn't equip ourselves, but sometimes we think, oh, we, you know, we're not academically so good at arguing. So you know, I'll just not say anything. God says, you know, you don't need to defend. I'll defend myself. But simply obey what I'm saying. Simply take what is in your hand and just present it. Isn't that amazing for us? We try to defend God many times, and then we get frustrated and we give up and we stop talking to people about God because we've had so much rejection and so much resistance, so we just don't do it. God just says, I will show you. I will reveal myself to you. My glory will be seen and my glory will fill the earth. We just need to obey and believe that God is able to do miracles. And I believe sometimes we've lost faith in God's miracle working powers. Even in God changing an unbeliever's heart, but God changing a hard heart, we've kind of lost it, so we don't tell people anymore because we don't believe God can change the hardest of hearts. He said that to Moses, Moses, you don't need to work all that out. I will show them. If they reject me, that's fine. I can take it. They're not rejecting you, Moses, they're ultimately rejecting me. So the big question of what if they don't listen? God just says, I will show you. You don't have to show me. You just obey me. Do what I say. Say to you. Someone getting excited in the house tonight. This is free. This is good news. Okay, this is freeing for us. This is freedom. The gospel is good news. Number four. Now, God is like thinking, yes, Moses, surely I've shown you miracles now. I've shown you a rod turning into a serpent. I've shown you a hand turning leprous and getting healed again. I've shown you what you're going to still do. Surely you must believe now. Surely you must just go now. And Moses is not finished with God. Excuse number four. This is amazing. When you start to read this, you think, but yes, this guy saw a miracle in front of his eyes and still he doubts. Okay? Can you identify a little bit with that? You've seen a miracle, but still you doubt? Still you doubt God? It's fine. It's fine to doubt God. Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Oh my Lord, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. Lord, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses starts to doubt his abilities. God says, I'll be with you in everything. But yeah, he starts to look at himself again. Oh, Lord, my ability. I can see this negotiation with Pharaoh. This is going to involve a lot of communication, Lord. I'm going to have to speak in front of people. I'm going to have to speak to people. Lord, I'm slow of tongue. But I can't speak. Not so eloquent, Lord. Suddenly he starts to look again at his own weaknesses and own abilities, and he looks at the great challenge ahead of him. I think you've got the wrong person here. Lord, I'm not the right person. Please, Lord, there's lots of other people who can speak much better than me. The truth is, many times that's our same excuse. I'm not the right person, Lord. Surely you haven't called me. What about the guy in the res next door? What about the guy, the lady in the room next door? They anointed, they gifted, not me, Lord. You see, we should never compare ourselves to other people. We should never look at what that other person's doing or what everyone else is doing in church or how great Tians is worshipping and, oh, I'll never stand in front of people and sing a few songs. And God's saying to you, no, I've called you. I've called you to do that. Just step up. God knows us. You see, he doesn't want you to compare yourself with others. If God's got a calling on your life, he knows every weakness. Once again, God's got a response for Moses. Look at his response. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? The Lord saying to Moses, Moses, who are you to question me? I mean, I made you, Moses. I made you with all your weaknesses, with all your flaws. So Moses, if I call you, surely I know about it. Who are you to question? He says, listen here, Moses, just go. I will be with your mouth. I will teach you what you shall say. So once again, God reminded Moses that he was in control and that he would teach him what to say. And he would just believe it. And he would just obey and just go. Do what God has told him to do. See, it's not about us. We need to let go and we need to trust God that he's going to do and fulfill what he's called us to. With us in everything, in all our weaknesses, in all our fears, in all our failures, God is with us. I want to say to you tonight, it's not about your ability, it's simply about your availability. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. I just wanted Moses to be available and willing and just say, Lord, I want to go. So the big question, I'm not eloquent, I'm not skillful, I'm not the right person for the job. God's answer is simply this. Who made you? If I made you and I called you, who are you? What excuse do you really have? I'm not confused. I'm God. I'm in control. One would think, after all these excuses, one would think, surely God is just going to pick someone else. Surely God is going to get sort of tired of Moses. God is not like that. That's the great news of the God we serve is so loving and so patient and so merciful with us. Because He knows we cannot miss out on this thing. We cannot miss out on volunteering. But Moses is not finished with God. He says, oh my Lord. He doesn't have too many other excuses here, but he just says, Lord, please just send someone else. I'm not the right person, Lord. Please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. Just send that person, Lord. But anyone else, just not me, Lord. How do you think God must have felt when he heard that response? After explaining to him so much, so many times, I'm going to be with you. I'm doing miracles. I mean, I still think, yes, this Moses guy, Cameron said to me over the weekend, he said he can't wait to meet Moses. He did great things for God, but I would like to ask him, you know, what was he thinking when he was reasoning with God? He really must have had a bad self-image. He really must have been. And obviously Moses wrote this. Moses wrote this about himself, so he's not shy. Moses actually called himself the most humble man that ever walked the earth. Okay. But I guess this was it. Moses was being real. Okay. It's time for us to be real, I believe. That is what God is trying to say to us through all of this. Let's be real with Him. Let's wrestle with God and say, here are my weaknesses. But you know what? God is not going to let you go with your weaknesses. He's not going to let you off them and say, ah, you're too weak. I won't use you. God is not like that. He's a loving God. You see, but because of all his reasoning, Moses was so full of fear, he just didn't want to go. He just didn't want to comply. And listen to God's response. It says here, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now, I don't blame God for getting a bit angry with this response. But you know what the great thing is about God? God is not like us who we get angry and then what do? We normally sin. The Bible says you can be angry but don't sin. What do we normally do? We get angry and we start to sin. Like with my little son, you know, when he doesn't want to come to church this morning, he's all difficult and my wife's away and I'm like a little bit late. And so I just say, get in the car. And then he doesn't want to get in the car and he throws his tantrum. And so I get a bit upset and, you know, I just have to really calm myself down because I almost want to like strangle him. He's going to grow up tough again. But God is not like that. God is a loving God. And he gets angry with Moses. But he says the following. He doesn't lose it with Moses. He simply says to Moses, and he continues to explain, long-suffering. Some of us who struggle with people, who are always asking questions, always inquiring, let's be long-suffering. Let's just continue to ask them questions. He says the following. He says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. And I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people. And he himself shall be as a mouth for you. You shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the sign. God basically, again, explaining to Moses exactly what he's already said. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with your mouth. But okay, you're obviously not hearing me. I said, I'm going to be with you, Moses. And I've made provision for your weaknesses. I've made provision for the fact that you can't speak so well. I've made provision, and take that rod with you, because you've seen, I'm going to still do signs. I didn't just do it to show you. I did it to show you because I want to do it again. That Pharaoh can let the people go. To do signs and wonders in your midst. So take that rod with you. And God is long suffering with him. He's a bit angry, but he doesn't kind of say, okay, Moses, yeah, I'll just kill you, I'll get someone else. He's long suffering. He says, Moses, you don't understand. I've chosen you. I want to use you. He knows the heart of man. You see, the God that we serve knows the heart of man. God knows the heart of man. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows the questions that we always ask. He knows our inability to just comply, to obey. He says, Moses, listen, here, nothing is going to prevent my plans from coming to pass. You can ask as many questions as you like, Moses, but I will make sure that what I've called you to do, I will fulfill. As long as you just wait, as long as you say yes, I will do the rest of your life. So despite resistance, despite Moses' questions, God just said, listen here. This whole thing about he sent someone else, no, Moses, I have chosen you. That's God's response. And that is God's response to you tonight and to me tonight. Is, I have chosen you. It's not about how you feel, not about what you want to do or would rather do. Despite what you think that someone else is better than you or more anointed than you, God says, no, I have chosen you. Don't resist it. And there was no more questions. The rest of the text just says that Moses yielded and he obeyed and he went. The rest is history. He changed the world. God used him to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. They worshipped the Lord, and yes, they were stiff-necked people, and Moses made mistakes, and they weren't able to go into the promised land, but he raised up Joshua. Moses at least made a disciple that took the people. And so, it's amazing. The greatest story, one of the great stories of the Bible. And look at this. Moses was not exactly compliant from the start. Moses was very fearful, very weak, very vulnerable. Didn't want to go. And how many of us have the same thing? So I want the band to come up this evening because I believe the Lord has really got an appointment with each of us this evening. And just to ask us the question again, will you go for me? What is holding you back? What excuse do you have? Because you know what? Bring that excuse to me. God is not saying, oh, you're a sinful person, you're full of excuses. That's not what he said to Moses. For me, this text is so encouraging because it's like God is long suffering with us and God will not let us go. Why? Because he loves us so much and he knows that if we miss the calling that he has for us, we're going to miss out of life. He did not want to have Moses miss out on the calling of his life. So maybe this evening your excuse is your identity. Maybe you're asking that question, who am I? What does the Lord say to you this evening? He says, I'm with you. Maybe your excuse is that you don't know what to say. You don't know how to testify to the world out there. God just says, you have a revelation. That which you have already is enough. Maybe your excuse is that of the fear of man. What if they don't listen? What if the people reject me? The Lord just says, tonight, I will show them. I will do miracles through your life. Lay down that fear of man, because guess what? It's not about rejecting you, it's about they ultimately rejecting you. The Lord just says, I'm fine with it. Some people will reject you, some people will miss out. But you know what? You just tell the people, I will do miracles. You just speak and I will use those words and turn them around. You start to pray for people. You start to just smile at people. You start to do whatever, and God will use just a little bit that you have to do. Put out that rod and say, Lord, this is all I've got now. God will say, thank you, I'll use it. Maybe your excuse tonight is, you're not the right person. You can't speak properly. You haven't got any abilities. Who am I? And my weaknesses and my inabilities. God says, make provision for me. Maybe you even yet tonight and you say, but Lord, please send someone else. You've asked me this too many times, Lord. God says, no, I've chosen you. I have chosen you tonight. You see, the amazing thing about all of this is many times this is a cycle in our lives. Many times we start off, we get over the who am I question. We get over our identity crisis and we start to serve God and we do things for Him. And then we get confronted with, you know, what must we say? And we get over that and we start to testify. Then we hit another challenge, the fear of man, and we back off a bit. And then we get over that again and start to see God doing miracles through us. Then we hit the other question of, oh, suddenly I've found this weakness in myself, and we back off again because we haven't got the right abilities. Then we get over that again, and then we come to a place eventually we hit the wall again and we just say, okay, God, I've had enough. I've done all this stuff. I've got over my identity. I've got over this thing of fear of man. But, ach, Lord, you know, I don't want to be used anymore. Just send someone else. And God is saying, no. Start again. Let's go and deal with the identity thing again. again. Let's go through the cycle again until you come to that place where you just say, okay, God, whatever, however, wherever, I will go for you. You see, God's response is amazing. God's response to us today is that He sent His Son to be weak and to be broken and to die the painful death for us, that we can have life and that we can go and be sent and be empowered. And then He sent His Spirit. We can have His presence all the time. But we never have to say, please send someone else, because the help has come. The Holy Spirit has come to empower us. We've got someone next to us. He's our power. He's our ability. So we need to recognize, yes, in our own abilities, we're not good enough. In our own identity, we're not good enough. We have lots of fear, but guess what? He's made provision through His Son, Jesus. So I would like the ushers also to just hand out the communion elements tonight, because we're going to just remember Jesus again. Just be reminded of the amazing sacrifice He paid for us on the cross, the blood and the body that we're going to take tonight, and then we're going to just bring our weaknesses before God and say, God, I want to be honest with You. I am like Moses. I don't want to go. I've got an identity thing. I don't know who I am. I don't know what to say, Lord. I'm so worried about what people think of me. I'm so worried about my own inabilities. I'm focused on myself all the time. It's all about me and how I'm going to perform. And the Lord says tonight, just bring that to Me. Just bring that to Me, because I want to give you a new life. I want to give you new abilities. You're going to walk by the power of the Spirit, not the power of your own flesh and your own abilities any longer. An amazing thing about the Lord Jesus is that God sent Him to be an incentive for us, that we can grow and that we can have life, but He's also sent Jesus as an incentive or as a solution for the world. Jesus is the solution for the world. And that as we grow in Him and walk with Him and follow Him, He becomes the solution through us to the world. But He's also our incentive to grow. And He's like we eat Him every day. We eat this body and this, drink His blood. We become one with Him as our own incentive to grow. And as we grow, we do more good works. Good works lead to more faith. So the cycle continues. And the world around us is changing. As we step out, as we do what God has called us to do. But tonight it's all about just being real with God. And I just sense the Lord is saying to us tonight, it's not time to say, ooh, I've really dealt with stuff. Just be real with your weaknesses. That you shared in your little group beforehand. We're going to pray afterwards in those same groups. And just bring our weaknesses before the Lord and say, God, I have this doubt, I have this fear, I have this inability, and it holds me back. I'm being honest with You, Lord. I don't always want to go, because I first want to fix myself. The Lord says, just come to Me. I'll give you a change. I'll make a change in your life. So while we're handing out the last few elements, I'd like us to just listen to a song. It's a song by Casting Crowns. It's called Who Am I? And it's a wonderful, there's a chorus that goes, not because of who I am, because of what You've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. Say that again. Not because of who I am, but because of what You've done. And it's not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. That's how the chorus goes. So just allow the song to minister to you. Just listen to it. Just allow the Lord to speak to you as we speak.
But because of who You are. wave tossed in the ocean. Vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. That the eyes that see sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours.
Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Praise you, Lord, that you are an awesome God. You know our weaknesses, Lord. You know the questions and the doubts and the fears that we have in our life. We can just bring them to you tonight. We can bring them to you in honesty and humility. Lord, it doesn't matter what questions we have, each one is known by you right now. Each one sitting here is known so specially and so very uniquely by you. We want to thank you for that. We want to honor you. Remember just this amazing sacrifice. Realizing, Lord, that you've made provision for us as your people. You've called us out of darkness into marvelous light. We just want to honor you. While every eye is closed this evening, Christians are just praying if you believe they hear this morning. And just focus on Jesus and pray for maybe someone here that doesn't know Jesus, because I don't want us to take communion before I've just given, even if it's just one person, an opportunity. I don't want you to take this communion out of religious ritual or because the person next to you is saying. I want you to search your heart this evening, and maybe you have never made a commitment to follow Jesus. Or maybe you've made a commitment many times, but you're not following. You don't hear his voice anymore. You're just coming to church because it's the thing to do. But you don't hear the voice of the shepherd calling you. And throughout the sermon, the Lord has been speaking to you. The Lord just says, come back. It's time for you to return to your first love. It's time for you just to come back to me, because I'm going to show you your point. You don't have to stress about all the excuses. Don't stress about all the questions and all that. I'll deal with you at the right time. But right now, you just need to come to me and just yield your life. Surrender your life and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to just pray a prayer. I don't want to just make a commitment. But I truly want to follow you. So maybe that's you this evening. And I just want you to be very bold, just to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to pray with you right there where you're at. If that's you, if you just want to return to Jesus and just commit your life to serving him, to following him, just be bold to raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you, Lord. Is there any? Just raise your hand high if that's you. Let's just give an opportunity. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just search your heart. the Lord's calling you, if there's a tugging in your heart, just respond. God loves you. He doesn't want to shame you. He doesn't want to expose you. He's calling you. So is there anyone else? Just be honest. Just raise your hand. Lord, I just want to thank you for the honesty. For this person that raised their hand, Lord, I just want to thank you right now, Lord, that you see the yieldedness, you see the surrender, Lord, you see the frustration of just playing church and going through the motions. You see the life yielded and committed to you right now. I pray, Lord, for just a heart right now to just connect with yours in an amazing way. Lord, I thank you. You are faithful. Continue to do, fulfill the work that you've started in their life. I thank you, Lord, for the commitment not only to just know about you, but to know you. I pray that you would help her to grow. Thank you for that amazing spiritual transaction that is happening right now. You say to her that you love her so much. You're not going to let her go. She's never going to backslide again. You say that she is going to follow you. Because you've placed your spirit in her, you've placed people around her to help her to grow. You've made the way on the cross. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for faith. Your daughter has returned home. And not only to come home, Lord, but also to go home. To go where you go, to follow you wherever you go, to the darkness, to the evil world, to the challenging places. Thank you that you will not go back unto perdition, but that you will continue unto the saving of the soul, that you will walk this path of salvation. Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can eat of your body right now. Let's remember the body of Jesus broken for us. Whatever weaknesses you have tonight, whatever doubts, fears, just look at this piece of bread and just say, thank you, Lord, that this represents you taking all our fears and failures and weaknesses on yourself. You are broken so we can be whole. When you eat that, just remember that Jesus has made you whole. You can walk in that peace. You might not be perfect and you won't be perfect, but you know what? He's made provision. And that's what it represents. He has made provision for you to overcome. So let's eat together, thanking Jesus for his body that we can be whole. You may be sick in your body tonight. I just want you to raise your hand just quickly if you're sick in any area of your life. I just want to pray healing over you right now. Just a simple prayer of agreement. Just raise your hand to Jesus. And you just thank Jesus for your healing right now. Lord, I thank you for these hands. I thank you for whatever sicknesses are in these bodies. In these bodies, in Jesus' name, I command it to leave right now. I thank you for the miracle working power of Jesus Christ to heal these people. Or even the slightest sickness. Thank you for faith tonight to be stirred. In Jesus' name, I speak healing right over these bodies. Thank you, Jesus. You just thank the Lord in your own heart. Thank you. Thank you for your healing. Even if you've done it many times tonight, the Lord wants you just to have faith in you. Say thank you for the healing. Thank you. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Receive your healing. Receive it right now. Receive it. It's done. Because his body was broken. He took the stripes on his back that we could be healed. He took the crown of thorns. Everything, all the pain and all the suffering. Tonight you can be healed. That's the good news. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Let's just drink of his blood, the blood of the new covenant, the new dispensation, new things, new life. All of us this evening, new life. He's not a man that he should lie. He will fulfill his promises, and his new covenant is available to all of us. We can walk in it. So walk in the fullness of joy, the joy of your salvation. Walk in the fullness that your sins have been washed away. I just send someone here tonight. You just need to know that your sins have been washed away. Even this week, you committed sins, and you know the Lord has been speaking to you. And tonight, he's reminding you again that sin that you committed, I've paid the price for it. It's done away with. Walk in that fullness. Sin no more. Go and sin no more. As you drink this, let it become part of you. Let it wash through your veins. Let it become your desire. That his blood will become your desire. That you will share it with other people. That the blood of Jesus has washed away all sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, he's here to wash you away. So just receive forgiveness, receive freedom, receive your, not only your forgiveness, but the power to proclaim forgiveness to others. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation tonight. You can proclaim peace to the nations. Let's bring together. Lord, we just say we love you tonight. This is so awesome, Lord, your presence here. We can be healed, we can be set free. We can be delivered of all our fears and failures because of what you've done, not because of who we are. Help us to look away from ourselves, to look at the cross tonight. I want us to turn to the groups again that you prayed and that you shared at the beginning of your weaknesses, and I just want you to pray for the person next to you. If you need specific prayer, just come forward. I would love to pray for people. If you just feel the Lord wants you to come forward and to lay down your life for Him and to just receive your deliverance again, healing, your whatever fears you're going through, specifically the fear of man, I just sense the Lord wants to set people free up from the fear of rejection and what the people have to say about you as this radical Christian or this hope who's so sold out for Jesus. So worried about what people are going to think. And the Lord wants you to set you delivered of that. And I just would like to pray for you specifically, if that's you. But if the rest of you can just turn into your groups and just pray for the person next to you. Share what the Lord has shown you right now and just give that fear and that failure and that whatever is bothering you. Give that over to the Lord and say thank you. That it's been great faith. The price has been paid. The provision has been made. I can have faith and I can overcome. I can change the world like Moses did, despite my excuses, despite my weakness. And if you need specific prayer while the rest of us are praying together, you can just come forward. I would love to pray with you while the band ministers to us, for us. Just let's remain in the presence of God for a while. But do pray for the person next to you. Lay hands on the person. Share just what the Lord has shown you to.